Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a wonderful Sunday evening, and I'm glad you made the opportunity and time to be here with us tonight. I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot, listen to our radio, and we also welcome you. And tonight's song is, if you've got a hymnal at the house, you can turn to page number 524. If not, we're going to sing We're Marching to Zion. Let's all stand and sing. Tonight we'll be in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And it's good to be with you tonight. There's 42 in Awana. Isn't that awesome? Got 42 down there. And all the ladies that's been working up in the kitchen. And just thankful for God to allow us to come back again together. I wonder how many wanted to come back in America. I wanted to go back to church tonight, but something's come up that's hindered them. You know, we never know what it could be. And if you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by the radio, we're thankful you're with us. We count it a privilege and a blessing for you to be with us. And if you don't remember anything else about this time with us here at Thomas Village, is you remember nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, He'll do even greater things. All right. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Good deal. Anyone else? Praise God for a good afternoon. Anybody else? Tonight, we'll be going through our prayer list, and this one goes back to the 1st of February. And so it was the first week of February, so you're going to help me with these. That's the wrong type of pen right there. That's a highlighter. I'm hooked up. Somebody brought a big old bag up here. Just remind me. Jenny and Mark McKinney, from what I hope, they're on the final stages of the COVID, but they've had it. And then number one, let's remember our loss and our backslid. And that's always the number one. Sometimes I forget to do that, but that needs to be, because everything else is temporary. You know, and we should pray for the physical needs and the emotional needs and all that, but the soul is the main thing, you know. Continue to pray for Sister Sally Grebe, but she's at home. We give God the glory for that. Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis, Dennis Mosher, Leonard and Nancy Roten, and Danny and Sherry, Brother Sherry's brother, Carol Edwards, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Chris Harmon, Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Colt Addison, Carol Edwards. I doubled them up, isn't it, again? Caitlin, Chris, and the baby girl, Lottie Johnson, Peggy DeBoard, Molly Edwards, Moselle Carter, Helen Bowen, Lydia Hensley, Moni Robbins, Caleb and Leah Richardson, Terry Hall, Junior Hill, David Duncan, Eddie Duncan, Donna Campbell, Amanda Campbell, Linda Phillips, Kay and Fuller Russell, Charlie Taylor, Peggy Stollard, Jim Sawyers, Michelle Miller, Bo Griffin, Joyce Smith, Steve Neff. He's got over the cancer, but now he's got some kind of sickness, just regular cold. Steve Gunner, Patsy Scarupa, Sherry Peblo. She passed away, didn't she? I thought so. I knew I had missed one or two. Roger Solis, Lynn Baez. Mr. Townsend went home to be with the Lord. Johnny Stell, Jeanette Brogan, Carol Kern, and then we have a couple that needs our prayers and don't want their name mentioned right now, but the Lord knows who they are. Our ministries here, our struggling marriages, broken homes, our nation's leaders, I tell you, it's pitiful when we consider our leaders. And then all those shut-ins, and again, we remember the lost and the backslidden. Any other names tonight? Well, he got a hold of me, a preacher, reached back out to me on Messenger. Thank the Lord. Brother Glenn. Anybody else? Yeah. I don't know. She passed. I thought that one was too. I'm going to treat it as though. Anyone else? And do remember churches around all over our region, just the devil fighting, not enough preachers to go around. You're seeing a lot right now of one denomination preacher going to another denomination church just simply because there's not enough to fill the pulpits around, which might be a good thing, you know. We got more in common than we do in Christ. We have more in Him than differences. Anyone else? All right, Brother Keith, if you would, just lead us to the Lord in prayer over these needs and over our service tonight. And pray for me and the nerve issue in my leg. Yes, Jesus. Amen. All right. Hello, sister. Again, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll be picking up in the middle of chapter 19. No, this will be nowhere near the first sermon as long as the first sermon. As long as we stayed till 12:30 that day, we may be out by 7:30 tonight. But this is the follow-up to the sermon that we entitled "The Christian, Depression, the Christian, and Living in Victory." And we looked at the prophet Elijah when he went up against the prophets of Baal. Remember, he had prayed for that it rained not, and it rained not for 3.5 years. And then basically he was summoned by the king Ahab, I believe it was. And as he was there, Ahab said, "You're the troublemaker. Are you the troublemaker?" And he said, "No, I'm not the troublemaker, but I'm tired. Our God is tired of his people faltering between two opinions." And then he basically put a challenge out to the prophets of Baal, remember? And he said, "Well, here's what we do. We'll build the altar, and then we'll call on our God, and the one whose God answers the quickest, that is the true and living God." And remember what he did? He went and got the old stones from the old altar, and he built it back. And he kindly antagonized the prophets of Baal. But then when it came to him, remember, he poured 3 buckets of water on top of it, so much that there was a puddle standing there. And then he called down, and in one prayer, fire came down from heaven, and he killed all the prophets of Baal, or had them killed. And then this is kind of where we pick up here in but in verse 19, verse 1 of chapter 19, what we see is this. He's kindly come down from the mountaintop a little bit. You know, some time has waned. And then he gets word from this wicked woman Jezebel that says, "Let me die, or let me be as one of the prophets of Baal, if by tomorrow at this time you're in the same boat as they are," meaning that she's going to kill him. And then we see some things in the prophet's life. But before we look at that, let's begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. "Then the word of the Lord came to him," meaning Elijah, "and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altar, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and now they are looking for me to kill, to take my life.' Then the Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence.' And at that moment the Lord passed by, and a great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' 'And I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts,' he replied. 'But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life.' Then the Lord says, 'Go and return to the way you came, to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mahel, you see that one, as prophet in their place. And may God add the blessings to the reading of his scriptures." But you see that it's kind of awkward, but Elijah's been on this mountaintop experience. And as we look at him, we see a man that called down fire from heaven, that God responded to him so quickly. We see a man who prayed and the sky withheld the water. We looked this morning, and remember, with the widow woman, he touched the pot, and the pot continued to give oil. This is a man that we would say, there's no other man like him. But then in James, what do we read? James, it says that Elijah was a human being just like you and I, and he has the same issues. And so what we see spiritually is he comes down off that mountain, and the next thing you know, he begins to look at things in a different way. And for example, you think about our life as a church. Before the new year, we had Thanksgiving. What do? We got together, we ate, we hung around together. And then we had, Christmas. What do? We come together, we hung out, we had meals. And then we had New Year's. What do we do? Come together, hung out, had meals. But then after New Year's, what happened? Other than having our normal church services, we didn't have that time together that we had. And you see that we drift away down into that lower, and the devil wreaks havoc on us. And it's easy for us to fall into depression. As we look at Elijah here, notice that he was tired physically, he was tired emotionally, and he was tired spiritually. Hey, it don't take much to wear you out emotionally and spiritually anymore. The battle is so always on. It's always going. And that is the time. And then physically, it don't take much for me to get run down anyway. But when you're down, notice how long did Elijah sleep? You notice that if you look back in verse 19, it said that he went to sleep, got up by the angel's touch, ate something, and went back to sleep. His body was worn out. And see, that's a place where the devil and depression find a stronghold in our life. And then the next thing where we see in Elisha's life that we need to be mindful of is the place that depression finds a stronghold is when our feelings override the facts of God. When our feelings override the facts of God. It says in verse 19, verses 3 and 4, then Elisha became afraid. We've not read about him being afraid nowhere, had we? He was bold. He was mighty. He was mocking the 50 prophets of Baal. But now one woman, and he's began to run for his life. He began to believe the words of the enemy over the words of his Creator. He began to trust his emotions more than he trusted the truth of God. The next thing we see is that a place where depression can get on us, the enemy uses, is he isolates us. He gets alone. And again, when we look at COVID, this is where I see it was a... I got peanut in my teeth. But it seems, at least in the spiritual realm, a tool that got the body of Christ separated. And now we see that not many's come back. Not all has come back. You see, when we're isolated, then the enemy has time to do what he wants to. You know, then abuse victims, that's one of the things that they tell you to watch out for. The groomer, what does he do? Or she does. She gets them away from their family and gets them alone to themselves. And then another one that we can look at is Elijah began to compare himself to other people instead of to what God had called him to be. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. I haven't had enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than the ones before me. I'm not doing it as good. Maybe not even doing it as good as them. And that's what happens when we get run down. We get tired. We get isolated. We begin to trust our feelings over what the facts that God has told us. And then the next thing that we talked about was a place where depression can come in is when the negativity becomes overabundant. Notice in chapter 19, verse 10, he said, I'm the only one that's left. Nobody else but me. Gloom and despair. He knew in his mind, rational mind, he knew that there were those. He had just met one. He just talked to him back in chapter 17 and 18. But don't we get to that point that we over that? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody wants me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. But in this, I mean, we've all been through this, right? And here's the thing that we learn, that depression is a real thing. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're exempt from depression. Matter of fact, when you look at Scripture, you see men, great men of God, go through times of depression. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jonah, Peter. And then we have men like Charles Spurgeon. We should be on guard for more depression because this is not our home. Amen? We shouldn't feel comfortable here. Our home is in heaven. That depression is real. And the next thing is that depression is not a sin. You're not sinning when you're depressed. You're not doubting God. You might be in the flesh, but it's something that just comes. Greater and godlier individuals than you and I have fought with depression. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to make us overcomers. That we can have victory and be conquerors of our depression. Oh, you remember one of the things that we read about depression is that it's the common cold of mental illnesses. And it said that at least 10% will suffer from depression this year. I believe it's more than that. At least you can add another 10% of those that ain't being willing to talk about it. And so we see that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and following, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And now tonight I want us to look at some actions that we can take, some practical use. You know what I mean? It's good on paper, but man, we need to take that and put it in our life, right? 2 + 2 = 4 on paper, but does it work when we got 4 cartons of milk and divide them up? You know, there has to be the application. So the first thing tonight is that if we're going to have a battle plan against depression, when it comes around, when we start seeing it, the first thing we need to do is we need to reaffirm our relationship with Christ Jesus. Take it back to the basics. Go back and know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and is your Savior. 1 John 5:13, "I have written these things so that those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that they may know that you have eternal life." Now, sometimes we may call depression conviction. The Lord can bring conviction in our lives at times. And we need to get an area right in our life. And that can bring that heavy burdensome on us. That's why we go back to the Lord Jesus. We begin at ground one. The next thing that we do is we need to rehearse the gospel in our life. Okay, now think about it. I know that my relationship's right with Jesus, right? Now the next thing is, well, Brian, isn't that pretty close to the same thing? Rehearse the gospel in your life? No. Listen, the gospel, what does that word mean? Good news. When you're depressed, what do you need? Good news, because you're in that negative state and you're in that. Here's the thing. The good news of Jesus Christ, if we're saved truly, is actively flowing in our lives. Amen? Listen to this. My sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I've done went back to Jesus, and it's not because I'm not under conviction. I'm not being whooped by the Lord, but my sins have been forgiven, and there's nothing that God has against me at this moment. If I was to die right now, I am good with my Creator. Rehearse the gospel. What does the gospel say? What did Jesus say? The good news is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah, though I may feel it in and of myself. The good news tells me that I am never alone. That He sits, He lives in my heart, and the Holy Spirit is taking up dwelling in my body. The next thing is this. I've got an eternal home in glory. Praise God, I ain't got no mortgage on it. I ain't got to worry about coming up with the money at the end of the month for it like I do down here. When I leave this place, that'll be my last bill I'll ever pay on it, because the home that I'm going to has been bought and paid for by my Redeemer. And then there's something else. It's the only hell I'm ever going to have to face. Remind yourself of that. Tell yourself that. That yes, it's hard right now. Yes, I'm going through a difficult situation. But this world and what it has for me and against me is the only hell, because the Lord has promised me that I will not feel the flames of hell. So we see that when depression begins to creep in our lives, when we see that we're physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained, when we begin to take our focus on the Lord and begin to focus on ourselves, that I'm not even as good as Joe Blow from Kokomo, or Susie better than you, you might as well just let me die. When we begin to allow the negative to begin to take shop, then you run to the cross. And that is my relationship with Christ Jesus. Rehearse the gospel, the good news in your life. Tell it to yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to work with it. Number three is remember that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Now, and when you're depressed, you don't believe things like that. It's hard to get up in the morning because you don't feel like there's a plan and a purpose for your life. But again, see, that's where we've got to trust the truth over our feelings. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Remember, we take it all the way back. We reaffirm our salvation right now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." Okay. Jesus said, God says, "Hey, I've saved you for a purpose and a plan." And here's what's even awesome. And our bodies is telling us, no, no. So who are we going to trust? I hope we can trust the Word of God. But there's something else that's amazing about the fact that our God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Our God does not waste anything. You know that? Nothing is wasted. Listen, all the pains, disappointments, hardships, scar tissue that we get here on this earth, God has a purpose and a plan for every one of them. He is using them for His glory, for our good, and for the good of those that are around us. And here is our hope in Mark 7, verse 37. "And we were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." The Lord's got a plan for you, and He's got a destination for you, is what Jeremiah 29:11 tells us. And so even in the midst of that, we go back and we can trust that God has a purpose and a plan. Number four, find some Christian fellowship. Get with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We were not created to be isolated. We were not made to be Lone Ranger Christians. But He calls us what? The body. He gives us each individual gifts that when we link together, they work with one another. That is the idea of it. And all through Scripture, we see, remember in Kings, though, what did He do? He got him out in the wilderness. He took Elijah out in the wilderness by himself. But all through Scripture, we see the need and the instruction for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 19, "And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask it, and it shall be done of them of my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." Then there's Acts 2:42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread in prayers." Hebrews 10:25. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even much more as you see that day, the end times approaching." You see that God has given us one another as a weapon, and we must be willing to use that. One reason why, and I'm going to just be honest with you, one reason why it's hard for me to link up with my brothers and sisters when I am depressed is because, number five, I don't make plans to be with them. You know that? Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we don't want to do anything. Wouldn't you agree? That old depression's on you and said, I think I'm just going to lay here in the bed. You know what you ought to do on those days? Have you a to-do list. That even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't want to, you've got that list made, and every day you're going to accomplish at least two or three things on that list. Because what happens is you get them endorphins flowing. You get the body pumping a little bit. And the next thing you know, after you get through one or two of the items that you've done on your list, you feel like doing a few more. You feel like maybe going and having lunch with your spouse. Or you feel like going down the road and seeing a friend. But here's the thing. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, so it is a sin for the person who knows to do what is good and does not do it. Now, we've just talked about depression, isolation is not good, right? We talked about how we need to get with our friends. So if we're not willing to get up, we're just bringing it more and more on ourselves. We need to have that list. I had a friend, and I would make him up a list. And on the days that he was down, that's what he would do. He would go to that list. Now, not every time, but it got to be more and more during those times. And then the last thing is this. We reaffirm our salvation. We rehearse the gospel in our lives. We remember that God has a plan and a purpose for us. We find some Christian fellowship. We do things, good things, that benefit us and that benefit others. That list. And the last thing is we got to always remember that this is not going to last. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. That's why Paul, one of the greatest things he could ever say was, wherefore whatsoever state I'm in, therefore to be content. He's found it. Here's the thing. Those hard times you're in right now, if you're watching by Facebook, listening by the radio, or if you're in here, I can tell you this, it's not going to last forever. That's why I tell people, just give it one more sunrise. Just see what the sun brings. But for those that may be in a time of dancing, a time of harvest and fullness, that's not going to last forever neither. And you'll go off the mountain. And so we need to take heed. The enemy, here's the thing about the devil. He don't got any new weapons. The battle plans and the tactics that he's using on us as individuals, us as a church, America, he's used them all of creation. It's our duty to recognize, to stay close to God, to recognize the battle plans of the strategy of the enemy, and then use the battle plans that we've been given to fight against it. Praise Lord. Depression, the Christian, and a battle plan for victory is all found in God's Word. And Jesus says that we are more than conquerors and that we are overcomers. Any thoughts or any questions before we close out tonight? All right. I appreciate y'all being here. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it has been good to be with your people tonight. And Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the truth that we find in your word. And Lord, let it just go forth and change the hearts and minds and lives of people. God, as we are gathered here tonight, I know that every person here has an issue, a situation that's
trying to burden them or maybe rob them of their joy and their fulfillment. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to take it away and fill it with your presence and your purpose. And we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.